On behalf of the St. Laurent family, I'd like to welcome you to Westside Bible Church as we gather together to pay tribute and to remember Serge René St. Laurent. I want to thank you on behalf of the family for your prayers and support, not only in these last number of days since Serge's passing, but in the time leading up to it and in fact over the years when he was in poor health. You're invited afterwards to a reception downstairs, and what we're going to do right after the service is the family is going to exit through the front door here, and they're going to go downstairs just for some moments together, and so you're welcome to go out the back and mill about in the parking lot and just wait, and then when we open the doors to the basement, they'll be ready to receive you down there, and we'll have refreshments and food, and we can continue our sharing and supporting and comforting of each other downstairs. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we gather here in the name of Jesus to seek your comfort, to seek your peace. We ask you, Lord, in this time of great sorrow and grief, to hold us in your arms and to gather us together to yourself. Let the peace that passes understanding come into our lives and into our minds and upon our hearts, as we remember Serge, the man that he was, the friend that he was, husband, father, brother, son. As we look back upon his life, and as we remember and give thanks to you today for all that he was and all that he meant to us. So we give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Robbie Taylor, Serge's nephew, is going to come up and read a couple of psalms for us.
Hello. The first psalm that I'll read is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second one is Psalms 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth, he breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, I know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah.
Now, Gavin has a verse that he wants to share with us. You want to use this mic here?
Before I read my dad's favorite scripture from the Bible, I would like to say one of my favorite memories. I caught my very first fish with my dad. It was a trout. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not punish but have eternal life.
Daniel has a verse that he wants to read too.
Daniel John 11:25-26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believed in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever live and believe in me shall never die.
Thank you, boys. Let's take our hymnals and turn in them to hymn number 202, Amazing Grace. 202, Amazing Grace. And I'll invite everybody to stand, but we'll allow the family to remain seated. Let's stand together. Call on Serge's best friend, William, to come share a eulogy with us.
Serge lived a short life, Serge lived a full life, although it was short. He was the kind of friend that stayed with you no matter what. He would give you the shirt off his back if you needed it. We met shortly after Serge and Debbie moved to Victoria from Prince Rupert, and we became good friends. He loved the outdoors, fishing, hiking, scuba diving. What I remember most about Serge is he was a loyal friend, loving husband, loving father to his sons. Sears was such a character. He knew when to be serious, and he knew when to joke around. He loved playing jokes on his mum. He had a smile that would light up his whole face. He was a deep sea fisherman. His passion for the open water shows in all his photos. In his energetic days, he was an extremely talented woodworker and was very proud. Kara remembers talking about whales all the time, killer whales. She would talk to Serge about everything. Serge would listen, and she would come up with facts, and Serge would just nod his head and answer. At some point, I'm not sure. One year, when Serge was at Nan's house, he called Kara. He gave her a present. She ripped open the present as fast as she could. Inside was a killer whale piggy bank that Uncle Serge had made for her. I guess you could really call it a whaley bank. She loved it and still has it on her shelf today. I will miss you, Uncle Serge. Rob remembers when he was about 4 and went up to Prince Rupert to visit Uncle Serge. Uncle Serge invited him to the shop downstairs to help him build a racing car. Rob couldn't use power tools before, as he had never done so. They finished the job. Uncle Serge built him a big digger and a train set. Hannah remembers coming to Victoria and going with Uncle Serge and the family to Theatres Lake and walking the dogs. It was a beautiful day. Sickness had kept Serge from a lot of activities near the end of his life. There were a lot of things that Serge had done that never got a chance to finish. A lot of things Serge didn't even get a chance to start. I will forever be grateful knowing him. All my memories I have shared with him will be cherished. Serge will forever live in my heart and the hearts of others. He leaves behind him 2 wonderful sons, Daniel and Gavin, and a beautiful wife, Debbie. I think if we all pull together, maybe we can help take over some of the void. It is not time to grieve his death, but it's time to celebrate his life. Don't ever forget him. He didn't want to see people cry. He wanted to make everybody happy. Let's think back and remember how Serge touched our lives and how much he made us laugh and what a good person he was. One day, I will meet him again. And one day, so will you.
I first met Serge a week before he passed away. I didn't introduce myself. I'm Tim Davis, pastor here at Debbie and Gavin and Daniel's church. And we hit it off right away. We had a good connection. We talked about racing. We talked about fishing. We talked about computers. And we talked about church. And that's something that he raised in that time I was with him. He said he wanted to come back. And I assured him that God wanted him to, not only to church, but to a walk with him. And Serge was nodding. And so as Serge and I talked about faith and about spiritual things, I sensed in him and in our discussion a desire, a readiness. It was clear and obvious that Serge had suffered greatly in recent years. And I don't remember personally ever seeing a man, particularly of his age, so sick. And I think that where he was that day when I visited him in the hospital, he was looking to God in his life. And I'd like to talk to you a bit about that. Because the obvious question when someone's so young and someone with so much to live for when they die is why? We live in a culture that tries to hide human suffering and death. We cover it up with plastic surgery and tans and working out and Botox. And each of those things is fine in their own place, but together they mask the reality that we live in. It's a reality that we see if we open our eyes when we drive around, when we're driving to work, when we're going to get groceries. People in wheelchairs, people struggling to get on buses, people who clearly are suffering in their lives. But it's a reality that our culture tries oh so hard to hide and does so well sometimes that we end up more concerned about the suffering of pets than we do about our fellow human beings. But every now and then something happens, like Serge's death, that shatters the illusion that we've bought into. And we're left with a question, the question that we want it to avoid. And that is, why suffering? Why is there suffering? There's pretty much two basic answers or ways to answer that question on our own. One is to find fault with the sufferer. We look at people who are suffering and we figure, well, they must have done something to bring that upon themselves. And I'm sure whatever they did, I would never do, so therefore I won't suffer like that. But then it becomes difficult when it's someone that we love and we know well and we know that it's so good, like Serge. We know that that's not the answer. So maybe the other alternative then, it's easier just to find fault with God. And think, if God was good, how could this have been how it was? I was talking to William earlier. He saw a picture on the wall in my office of a U.S. Coast Guard helicopter hovering over Church Island. It's an island out in the strait. And there is a fellow, Andrew Stavisky. He's a fisherman who was shipwrecked the night before. And he is on a backboard being lifted up in that Coast Guard helicopter. I am huddled down on the rocks. Me and the Coast Guard guy who's standing on the rocks had put him on a backboard so he could be lifted up and be rescued. The Coast Guard guy they lowered down had his name on his patch, was Daryl. You can see in the picture another fellow in the helicopter. I always say that's his other brother, Daryl, if you ever watch Newhart. That takes place out there. That fellow who was shipwrecked spent the night watching the light on Race Rocks Lighthouse. Race Rocks Lighthouse is built on rocks that many ships wrecked on over the years. In fact, even one of the ships bringing supplies to build the lighthouse wrecked on that. And I would venture to say that there's not been one captain or sailor that's gone by Race Rocks Lighthouse who has blamed Race Rocks Lighthouse for the rocks that it's putting out the warning about. Just as no sailor has ever blamed or no sailor has ever cursed the harbor lights that guided him safely into port around things that need to be navigated. I want to tell you today that blaming a lighthouse for the rocks it warns about makes about as much sense as blaming God for the suffering that exists in our world. You see, there is suffering in the world, but it cannot be understood its reason or why by simply learning the words that explain it. Even the truth doesn't take away our pain, the suffering that we're experiencing. No, it's not words that do that, but rather a relationship that can bring us peace that God wants to have with us. And that is what was taking place in Serge's life in the last while. It didn't happen just because Pastor Tim walked into his hospital room. It was already happening. But I'm sure as he grappled with the reality of what was happening in his life and his suffering, and on top of this, having to deal with the emotion of his own experience, having lost his father at the same age that his boys were maybe going to lose theirs, that he began not to look for answers in words, but answers in relationship to God. That day I asked Serge, this is a bit of a test of mine when I visit people in the hospital, so get ready for it. I said, do you have a favorite passage in the Bible that you'd like me to read? Usually it's Psalm 23, because that's the one that everyone remembers. And he said, no. He says, you pick one that you want. So I said, okay. So I read to him Psalm 121. And then he mentioned, oh, I remember from Sunday school, John 3:16. And that's the verse that Gavin read. John 3:16. He had it memorized and he could say it, and he did. Let me read that to you again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And look what it says in verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus is a lighthouse to us in this world of suffering. The cause of suffering is too long to go into now. And like I said, the words will not take away our pain or make it all good. Nothing will, really, in this life. But in this world of suffering, where suffering is a reality, whether we hide from it or create the illusion that it's not there, Jesus is a lighthouse to us, calling to us. Now, in John chapter 14, the disciples were really troubled. A disciple is a student or a follower. So those that were following Jesus, they were quite troubled. And Jesus said this to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas, one of the disciples, said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, as a lighthouse in the middle of what troubled them, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." In the verse that Daniel read is from John chapter 11. And it takes place after a fellow named Lazarus dies, and his two sisters are beside themselves with grief. They've called for Jesus to come to heal him. But Jesus gets there, and Lazarus has already been in the grave a number of days. He's already passed. John chapter 11, verses 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary, that's Lazarus' sisters, to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And Jesus asked, "Do you believe this?" See, right there, Mary stays at home. Maybe the grief is too much. Maybe she just can't face it. Martha says to Jesus, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have died, but I know you can take care of it. And Jesus explains that even people who believe in him who die, they still will live someday. And he asks this question, do you believe this? Notice he did not say, do you know this? He did not say to Martha, okay, now I've told you the truth. Do you have it straight in your head? He says, do you believe? Because there is no fact that will take away how we're all feeling today. That will just wipe our emotions free and our frowns will turn upside down and we'll smile and feel better. But in our grief and in our loss and in the suffering, not only of this moment and of the days past and the days to come and the suffering that we'll experience in our human lives, Jesus, in the midst of all of that, is a lighthouse to us, calling us to a relationship, not to know the answers, but to know him so that we can be comforted and have the hope that Serge had. When I went to the hospital on Sunday, and Serge was really not able to talk much, he said that he had wanted to come to church. He asked how my race had gone at the Speedway the night before. But he couldn't talk, really. So I said to him, Serge, I know it's hard for you to talk. Let me tell you what you need to know, what you need to hear. And I talked about Jesus, and I talked about relationship, and I talked about whether it went the way we hoped it would or if it didn't. He had hope and peace that he could trust himself and everything he had to Jesus. And he nodded. Because in the end, we know for sure that Serge had a relationship with Jesus that brought him through. And it's that same relationship with Jesus that we can have that will bring us through as well. Let's pray. And so, Lord, our sadness and our grief is so great. And even hearing the truth of the relationship you call us to won't change so many of the things that with every fiber of our being we wish that we could change today. But we look to you. We look to you in response to your invitation and call to believe and to rest and to give our lives to you. Thank you for sending Jesus to guide the way. To guide the way to our home port. We thank you. Thank you that you've guided Serge so much earlier than we would ever have wanted to see. But he's safe in you. And in the end, you gave him peace. You gave him hope. We thank you for that. Well, we pray, Lord, for Debbie, for your great comfort and peace and rest upon her. We pray for Gavin and for Daniel, Lord, that they will remember so many of the fun times and good things and memories of their dad. We pray for Lynn as she grieves and the loss of a child. We lift her up to you. For Daniel and Suzanne, we pray, Lord, that as they are grieving the loss of their brother, that you will comfort them and encourage them. Wrap your arms around them. And for the many other family members here today, brother-in-law, sisters-in-law, nieces, nephews, and more, and friends and family, we look to you. We look to you for that peace. We look to you for that relationship that will bring us through. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song off of the PowerPoint here. A song that we sing here at the church. It's called You Are My King. And it's a song that the words of which speak of that relationship that we can have with Jesus. Again, I'll let the family stay seated, and I'll ask you, the rest of the congregation, to stand together. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you for that hope. Thank you for that hope that Serge had in the end and in his life, and that he has today. You've taken him to be with you, and we trust him to you and ourselves to you. We do so in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.